Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Audio courtesy of Guardians TV. More on them coming up in a bit. Celtics lost last night, and I was inundated with tweets overnight. Twitter Actions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. And just the latest one, Giorgio, you are the winner because you're the latest one. As Cleveland fans, you have to feel better about Boston's results last night, right? And go, no. Says, as a Cleveland fan, you have to feel better after the Boston result last night, right? I said, no. Just makes me feel worse. Does not make me, the Boston losing does not, why does that make me feel better? Because they're down 0-2 too?
I guess.
I got to worry about my own series. I don't worry about their series.
Yeah, I have stopped. Man,
does that make Evan Mobley more healthy?
I was dialed in on Boston this entire season. I basically thought, you know, from very early on, from the moment that we had the first win streak, which, of course, started game one, into the first month of the year, that I was like, well, the rest of the year, we're going to be keeping tabs on Boston like never before. Like, that's what matters. And when you're down 2-0 and you drop 2 games at home and you've got this rash of injuries, you don't know who's going to be available. You've got guys around the NBA going after like the heart of guys that aren't playing, whether or not they should be playing, whether or not they have what it takes to be on a team that's, you know, contending for a championship. All that stuff is going on right now. And that has pushed the Boston part of this kind of to the background.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that part of me is like, man, if we could just find a way, somehow get guys back, reinforcements, come help this team, just beat the Pacers, a team that everybody thought you were better than to start the series, and you win 4 out of 5. Like, you can go to the Eastern, you can go to the finals. You can go to the NBA finals.
Yeah, I won't feel better until they win on Friday. If the Cavs win on Friday, then I'll feel a little bit better.
Oh, I'll feel a lot better if they win that game.
Because then I'm like, okay, can we use this as a blueprint now to beat Indiana in the rest of the series? Like, no, the series isn't over, but it's starting to look bleak. And I'm sorry, if the Cavs were up 2-0 and the Celtics were down 0-2, hey, I'm an excitable boy. I would start making plans. Well, you put a cart before a horse, then we'd end up playing the Knicks possibly in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I know me, and I would be going, okay, June 20th in that category, in that area of the calendar, like, would we... parades, plans, can't take any days off, like that type of thing. Making sure like everything's, all the ducks are in a row for any crazy things to go on downtown. I know me, I would be doing that. But we're down 0-2 in the series just like they are, and nothing about the Celtics losing. I don't like the Celtics, so I'm glad that they lost, but it doesn't make me feel any better about the Cavs situation. So... I wish I could agree with you.
One thing you can say is that it does underscore how improbable, how up in the air these playoffs have been.
So does that make it feel like, oh, we can come back from 0-2?
Well, no. I think what I'm saying is, hey, it does show that the NBA is in a different spot. Like, I tweeted last night, and I'm sure I haven't read the responses. I'm sure I'm getting crushed because I took aim at the NFL.
Good.
But I love comparing the sports, and I think we've just had this assumption that because the NFL is the most watched, it's the most popular, it has the most casual fans, it has the most women that watch the big games, you know, more so than any other sport, that kind of breaks through all demographics, no matter what your race is, politics, whatever. Like, yeah. Football is just the thing that people watch. And I'm like, do we ever actually sit back and analyze, is it good football? We do that with the other sports. We don't do that with the NFL.
Oh, a lot of football is bad.
We don't care that there are 60 to 70 quarterbacks used. We don't care that the last month and a half of the season is actually not that good at all. Like,
you're
last
talking
year,
to the football guy, buddy boy, so yeah, I know it.
Last year, I made this point a bunch of times that I thought the product was not good, but nobody cares because people will watch a bad football product. They won't watch a bad baseball or a bad basketball product.
No.
Hockey just has its own group of fans that watch everything no matter what. So I said last night, I think the NBA playoffs so far have been way better than the NFL playoffs. They've been longer.
Oh,
they've been more entertaining.
I bet you did get hammered.
They've had better great games, elite playmaking, all that. The NFL.
Should I go through a Twitter two-minute report of your responses?
Sure.
Okay.
Because I said,
hold on.
Patrick Mahomes won a playoff game which he threw for 170 yards. That's the same as going 3 for 20. If you're,
who did he do
if
that
you
against?
Say Jason Tatum against Houston.
Okay.
He was terrible in that game. They won. He was terrible in the Super Bowl. Nobody cared. Nobody's like, this product sucks. The stars aren't even good. Nobody cares. It's only something that we assign to other sports. But so far, and I will go toe-to-toe if anybody wants to call up, you can't tell me the NFL playoffs have been better. There's so many. If you're going to say that what makes the NFL awesome is how few games there are, is that really something that props up a sport? No, what's awesome about the NBA playoffs, and I will always maintain is awesome every year, is that there's so many games, there are so many great endings, there are buzzer beaters, there are now, because there's parity that the NFL has, and we always said that was what was better about the NFL. Guess what? There's parity in the NBA. It's awesome. It is awesome. You don't know.
I think there's too much.
You don't know. Oh, okay.
There's too much. We talked about this in the podcast.
But that's only something you would criticize the NBA for. You wouldn't criticize the NFL for, right?
Well,
you're admitting there's a double standard.
The NFL doesn't have parity.
Well, see, but that's what people told me.
That's what everybody thinks they have.
Okay.
They don't.
So people can't even get it straight what they like about the NFL. They just
if you walk down the street and you said who's going to be in the Super Bowl this year, how many out of 10 people would say the Chiefs? Eight people would say
calling,
the Chiefs.
So you're basically calling NFL fans stupid. They don't even know what they like.
No, I think the NFL has, first off, the NFL has the most general population. When you bring in everybody, you are going to confuse everybody. So when you have everybody, it's always, well, it's a big shadow game. Because we all think because they have it the best way, they have the salary cap. So there is a general belief that if you are able to do things the right way, keep the right people for a long period of time, then you're going to be able to have just as good a shot in Cleveland as they would in New York, as they would in LA. I've said this a million times, but it's all a facade. That's all it is. We have these runs of these great teams, and they go to the Super Bowl all the time during their run. Well, right now, Kansas City, they have Patrick Mahomes. They've been going to the Super Bowl during their run until they'll pass on the baton to somebody else. And maybe Kansas City will stick around. But as of right now, Kansas City's there. Philadelphia may be there, but who knows, because Jalen Hurts is not the quarterback that Patrick Mahomes is. Don't care what anybody says. So we'll see if they're able to do that. But still, Philadelphia has still been a very successful franchise here for the better part of a decade out of the NFC. So I don't think that they are some underdog, some gritty. I know that they had their underdog mask, but they've been a good franchise now for a while. They can say whatever they want. They are one of the haves in the NFL, not one of the have-nots. The NBA has true parity. But because you have true parity, there's no one you can really sink your teeth into and hate. You got to sink your teeth into somebody as a evil empire type of organization that people can turn around and hate and root for anybody who plays them. We had that with Golden State. We do not have that right now. I think the Celtics are getting close because there's history there, but they're down 0-2. Does anybody here? I mean, I think some people are excited that the Celtics are down 0-2. Is anybody here excited to see the Knicks be successful? Does anybody want a Knicks fan who's usually a Yankee fan? Does anybody want them to be successful? No. No. So I thought, wait a second.
The biggest complaint about the NBA for years is that all the great players collaborated. They got on the same teams. No parity. Only three teams can win it every year.
Yeah, that was just things I told myself to make myself feel better when LeBron left.
I appreciate that you admit it. Okay. But why does the NBA have a moving target on these things, but the NFL doesn't? That's all I'm saying. Like, well, just admit, there's nothing in the NFL. You don't really care about what the sport looks like, about who represents the conferences. You don't really care about any of that stuff. You don't really care if someone's protesting or if politics are brought into it.
That's true.
You'll watch the NFL no matter what. You're just looking for things to say.
Yeah.
But in the end, look, I love the NFL too. I think it sucked for the last month and a half, and I didn't think the playoffs were good last year.
Usually the first month now sucks because they have more regular season games. They have less practice than they've ever had. So
there's more load management going on in the NFL. You're seeing more and more of that every year.
Yeah, and they want to add another game. So all you're going to do is water down that product. There has been more seismic shifts in the NBA now, though. Like, you've had to change your salary structure, cap structure, to take away some of the player movement. People do not like players, no matter what anybody says on social media, which is just the thing that people go to so they can grandstand. The general population does not like that they are not free to go from job to job to job without retribution, without having to pay some fiddler. And they don't like that NBA players could do that.
But
they did not.
Okay, they say that, but they love NFL. Oh, my God, it's free agency. Oh, my God, who are the Browns going to get? Who are we going to steal from other teams? Who are the guys we're going to get? Meanwhile, the NBA free agency, it blows away. And the offseason of the NBA blows away the NFL every single year. And this year, by the way, we're talking about Boston, the Celtics potentially getting broken up. We're talking about Giannis potentially on the move.
Totally true.
Kevin Durant could be on the move again.
Totally true.
And the dominoes that are going to take shape, the NBA will crush again. Their offseason will crush the other sports.
I'll tell you what, we have done that because ultimately, if you have a – we don't have a quarterback. So since we haven't had a quarterback, we freak out over free agency because it's a chance to make the team a little bit better. But if you had a quarterback – even if you didn't, you don't make a big deal about free agency because you have a quarterback. So it's like, okay, you can come with us or you don't come with us. No big deal. Whatever. The main players in the NBA, it doesn't happen anymore because they changed the structure, which should lead to a better following for each one of those teams. They changed the structure. But for the players, if they're staying, that makes it easier for that fan and that city. But for the NFL, the most important players, they stay. They stay. You know, Houston, beyond all the other stuff, you know, if they thought, I know they had just signed Deshaun Watson, but honestly, if you think a player, like if Patrick Mahomes decided to, I'm leaving Kansas City and I'm going to have a year-long hold-in, what do you think Kansas City would do to make Patrick Mahomes happy? What would Cincinnati try to do to make Joe Burrow happy? What would Buffalo do to try to make Josh Allen happy? In the NFL, it's always, hey man, trade partners beware. Why are they just letting this guy go?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Like, they hold, like, you keep the guy, you keep the player. And I think that's comforting to fans. In Major League Baseball, we just, with the exception of Jose, and that's why we'll build a statue of the guy no matter if we win a World Series or not. If you keep the player, it's usually he got hurt. You made a one-time investment. We're making a one-time investment. We still gave him a haircut of $100 million. Or, and this is morbid, the owner's about to die. That's what it is. Mike Ilitch up in Detroit.
So are you saying that you agree or disagree with my larger point though,
I don't know.
Right now?
You asked me a question. I was answering it.
Yeah,
I don't even remember what your original point was.
My point was I think the NBA playoffs are awesome right now.
Yeah, and, great.
And okay, so we agree.
Yeah. I didn't disagree with you originally.
Good, because I think
you just asked me a series of questions and I was being put through the paces. That's all.
I just want to make sure when people get on their soapbox about what they hate about the NBA, all these 30 things they hate about the NBA because they've been told by a cable news network or whatever,
okay,
they hate
come
the NBA.
On now, Tone.
That the NBA is pretty damn awesome right now. And if you just don't like basketball, I get it. Like, but I'm a fan of all three sports, always have been. They fluctuated in different times. And for the people that like all the sports, and it's a great sports town because we like all the sports, not just one sport. Yeah, it sucks that we're down 0-2. But in general, the NBA playoffs have been amazing.
I think we do love all the sports. I think that sometimes we get a little bit in our cocoon a little bit and hear some of the people who, well, they hate the NBA no matter what. And I think they know that it bothers you and I when they go, 2016 was a legitimate championship. it'll never be what the Browns and Guardians are. Oh, okay. All right. Like, I think they do that because they know it gets under your skin a little bit. But I think in the general population of 90%+ of Cleveland sports fans, they were very, very happy in 2016, and they'll be very happy if the Cavs were to win it this year and come back from 0-2 against the Pacers, and they'd be very happy if the Guardians were to somehow win it, because somehow they win baseball games. All these metrics people shove in my face say they're like one of the worst teams in baseball, but they are above 500.
I will say, my phone, if it was just somebody analyzing cell phone service in Cleveland the other night, felt like the biggest thing going. It felt like a Browns game, right?
Yes.
That kind of meltdown, it elicited the responses you would get for an NFL football game.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last
Hold
night.
Hold on, Mitch. We're having this vicious debate here, which I don't even really think was debate.
Okay.
I was just me trying to stump for the NBA. Everybody always rips it. What about where would you put NFL playoffs, hockey playoffs, baseball playoffs, and the papal conclave?
Papal conclave's like once every 20 years.
I know.
That's
Should we
hard
be watching?
Do.
There's wall-to-wall coverage. It's live on all the news networks.
Boy, papal conclave's up there.
Does it have the best ending of any of these things?
Depends on who you want. There are people now. I think that this is part of the betting public. Can you bet on that?
Oh yes, you can.
I'm sure you can. I'll look that up.
Yeah.
So you asked what again? NFL playoffs, NHL. Yep. Okay.
Or Papal Conclave.
Yep, there you go. New York Times has an article, betting sites where you can do a bet on Papal Conclave. Okay. Which I saw the movie Conclave, so I already kind of got my fill on that pretty much.
Can I tell you something about
the
NHL
playoffs?
Is
that the sequel
playoffs?
To Spotlight?
Spiritual sequel. No.
I don't believe that hockey belongs in Florida. Even though I got a buddy, Doug Plegans, who does the Florida Panthers play-by-play on the radio.
He's incredible.
And I'm just going, if the teams in Florida are going to be good in the postseason, when I think hockey, I think snow and ice and Canada and the northern part of the country. I do not think of Florida.
No,
the only
never.
Time I've ever thought about Florida is the movie Slapshot in hockey. That's it. Now I want to say a bunch of lines I have to dump. So I don't have as much of a... Guys, it's not... We did not play hockey in Perry Township, Ohio. There was no hockey rinks. Mm-mm. There were those for Jackson... Congratulations on all their success.
Yeah. Got a fight to get that ice time.
North Canton that wishes they were Jackson. Yeah, I said it. I said it, North Canton.
Boom.
I said it. You're the same boat as us. Stop acting like you're better. Yeah, there's no ice rinks down there. So, sorry, guys. I can tell you a little bit about Tony Twist. I respect your sport, but that's about it. Don't know where I was going with that. Go ahead.
Am I good to go? All right. So I was going to start by saying if the Celtics loss last night didn't make you feel better about the Cavs.
It didn't.
I don't think this is going to either. The last two-minute report last night came out confirming that there were two missed lane violations in the final minute that led to 5 points for Indiana, including Tyrese Halliburton's game-winning three. There was also a defensive 3 seconds against Donovan Mitchell that should have been called. But can't change anything about it now. The Cavs still lost. This is just feels meaningless to me.
Should more NBA games come down to... defensive 3 second violations and lane violations.
It's the dumbest thing that the NBA does, and this is why people get mad at the NBA. Because when you put the NFL maybe later will say something, but it's always a united front. It's always too bad. Oh, we might have found out that they told the Browns that they. Okay, it doesn't matter. The NFL does not care. They might give you something, but it doesn't matter. And for the NBA, you come out with this two-minute report. I go, none of that's good. It just makes me not like your sport. Because it makes me question the integrity of the refs. It makes me question the integrity of the association. And I don't get to use it as a credit. So it's not like we start off with Indiana. They have two team fouls at the beginning of this game coming up tomorrow night. You don't get it. You just get this report of, sorry. Feel bad for you. You're down 0-2. Like, I don't get any help from that. So all it's there for is to make you think about something you want to forget, which was that terrible loss back on Tuesday night. Yes. Go.
I was going to say that would be a fun idea to have them add two fouls if they had, like, some sort of credit system
just
for the last
that.
Two-minute report.
Yeah, they just the two-minute report, it's just pointless. And it's not like it's going to improve the, like, for years, you know why they do the two-minute report is gambling, and they wanted to make sure that the NBA would fess up to its sins. But, you know, they're just making mistakes like every other sport. And I don't think any of us are better off because we have the two-minute report.
I got a bunch of people from different communities now tweeting me about the rinks that they have. Metter had a rink. Ken, North Olmsted had a rink. There's the winter ice rink over there in Lakewood. Congratulations.
Right
and all
off
your
the freeway,
success.
Yeah.
Guys, we're outer ring suburb. We don't have that down there.
Going back from hockey, you just mentioned to basketball yesterday. The comeback that we just mentioned, the Celtics blowing a huge lead again against the Knicks 91-90. This is Joe Mazzulla last night. Talk about the plays the Knicks made over the final 5 minutes.
Yeah, they made every play. And like I said, even you know, throughout the end of that third, the fourth quarter, I thought we generated some good looks. And then I thought we had some live ball turnovers and they took advantage of it. So they made the necessary plays to win. You know, we put ourselves in position to do that and we just didn't make the plays.
I actually thought they tried going to the basket. In fact, with the game on the line, Tatum went right down,
glided right down the floor
and threw down. But it's just, again, the Knicks, no matter who is out there, they do have a mentality that they get physical. You feel them on every possession. And you know, Jaylen Brown tries his bully ball stuff. He gets to his spots, but he turns around and there's a guy right in his face. Not easy shots. They're just not easy. And I think there was an element of choking. I think they were feeling the pressure at home.
Yeah. Other teams can choke other than the Cavs. They choke.
Derek White's getting all the good wide open looks he always gets and buries against us. He's just missing them.
Yeah.
It's a total choke job.
Tatum tried to do like the LeBronto shot. Did you see that last night at the end?
The fadeaway?
It kind of felt like that, but it just felt like he made a bad decision because he was double teamed right at the end. That was such a weird final decision made by him. Well, going from that over to the Guardians yesterday down in the nation's capital, the Guardians having an 8-run inning that boosted them to an 8-6 victory to take the series. All 8 runs being scored in the 6th inning. Stephen Vogt talking about what led to that big frame.
When we smell blood, we go, and our guys really feed off each other. And, you know, it also, when you put pressure on the other team's pitcher and you constantly have base runners, they know that they're going to run. And so when we get on base, we make really good things happen. And so that's all we try to do. We try to get on base and then keep the line moving.
Feels like this happened a few times recently where they're just scoring in chunks now after going dry for like 4 or 5 innings.
You wouldn't think you'd have to go through 8 pitchers in a game that you had you scored 8 runs in an inning. And so Cade Smith ran into trouble again. So that's a little annoying. Like, we overanalyze, you know, even in wins, what's going on with the relief pitchers. But it's amazing. The fact that they are 22-15, they've gotten below average starting pitching. Their relievers, I mean, we've been panicking about from day one, especially, you know, your save guy and now your setup guy. Like, that's pretty amazing. And offensively, we have not been impressed with anything in this lineup basically the whole year. And yet, they're 7 games above .500.
And Angel Martinez I've been impressed with. Stephen Kwan's still batting .330, right?
How about Gabby Arias going 4-for-5
yesterday?
Yeah,
I thought he was done, and he's kind of saving his career here with the Guardians.
Was that yesterday he threw it away in the very first inning? Or was that 2 days ago?
I didn't get to the first
inning.
No,
it was 2 days ago. It was game one of the doubleheader. Yeah.
Now, when...
They all mix up for me.
When will Rocchio actually get another hit? He is 0-for... The over is last 30.
You had an RBI yesterday.
Is it 30?
They get in the postseason. You watch. That's sarcasm. He did have a good postseason last year.
You look out for that. Finally, we had yesterday
28. He's 0 for his last 28.
Oh, my Lord. Yes.
Oh, my Lanta.
Finally, last night, 93.7 The Fan, the afternoon show with Pony and Mueller. Aditi Kinkabwala talking about the George Pickens trade, and she thinks it's going Pittsburgh's way.
The Steelers absolutely won this trade. 100% won this trade. To get a third round pick for George Pickens? That's fantastic. And it's definitely a better return than what I would have expected from the things that I had been hearing over the last few months. And of course, we know that ideally they would have moved him before the draft and couldn't.
I agree with Aditi. Got a third round pick for a guy who's been an open malcontent for the last couple of seasons.
Should we, though, the term, and we do this all the time, we're just as guilty, won the trade. You know, when the Browns on draft night made the Hunter trade, I didn't look at it from the Jacksonville point of things. I was just like, yeah, makes sense, good trade. But I didn't use the term won the trade just because that is something. I mean, it'd be one thing if we drafted a player right there and then, which I suppose you took Jacksonville's pick, but you know what I'm getting. Like, This third round pick is next year. It's a year from now.
Remember the Warren Sharp galaxy brain on that, where he's like, "Well, even if the Jacksonville Jaguars win the Super Bowl, you see by the valuation,
yes.
The Browns win the trade. No, they don't. Nobody wins that. The Browns can have a good trade, and if it means they get their quarterback or weapons for their quarterback, if they find one this year, then great. Congratulations, it works out. But if there was a winner of the trade. I don't think there's winners and losers of trades except when you make terrible trades. Then there are losers in trades. But, yeah, man, if you win a Super Bowl, you win the trade. What are you talking about?
Like, I'll say that good for them to get a third for a guy I didn't think they'd get a third for.
Yeah.
But when they won the trade, I mean, talent is going out the door. What a talent that Pittsburgh people have told me, man, they just get a handle on his talent, get a handle on his talent. Just admit, you failed. You failed. You've done it with other wide receivers, too. And those other wide receivers you at least had great years with. You didn't even get a great year out of this guy.
Out of Pickens?
Yeah.
I thought they had a good year out of Pickens.
It wasn't as plentiful as years past, but he still was probably their top target.
He seemed like a guy that you would hire to sabotage a team from within.
People were sending me the screenshots of Pony on social media calling Pickett to Pickens the next Montana to Rice. I thought he did it like once. He apparently did it for a whole training camp. Like every day, twice a day, Pickett to Pickens was going to be Montana to Rice.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
And Pony calls me, like, once a week. People coming after me. Because you tweet stupid stuff, and then you say it on the air. What do you want me to do for you? I can't help you with this. Is that it for About Last Night, Mitch?
It is.
I know the music had stopped, so that's your passive-aggressive way to tell us that that's the end of About Last Night.
Keep everyone on the board.
You're not even aggressive. You're just passive. You're just hoping we get it, and then you get nervous, and you're trying to walk out of the studio like you're doing right now. I know what you're doing. I know your game. Yesterday, so we were all mad. I was upset. I know what Jason Lloyd wrote, the pain management thing. Until I know for sure, I ain't taking the gloves off about Darius Garland. He's a professional basketball player. You're in the postseason. I don't know what you know, so I'll maybe leave it to you. Maybe you can change my mind on it. I just don't feel it right. I can't stop callers, and I can't stop tweeters, and I can't stop fans. It's their prerogative, fine, if they want to. But when I hear stuff like this, I feel it's kind of low. Audio courtesy ESPN.
A toe injury is significant, could be very painful. I understand that. You got to be damn near crippled if you can't play. You got to find a way to get out there. Because last night, Nembhard and Halliburton combined for 45 points, like 19 assists and one turnover. They're getting guard play in Indiana. Donovan Mitchell needs help, period. Because whether it's Ty Jerome, whether it's Strus or somebody else, I mean, listen, they're not point guards, okay? He needs some help in that backcourt. Now, you missed four straight games, Darius Garland. I mean, damn, you got all offseason to heal. Somehow, some way. I mean, you're on the brink of elimination. I mean, you got to get out there. You got to find a way. Limp your ass out there no matter which way you got to do it. I don't give a damn. Find a way. Pad the toe, wear an extra size shoe. You know, do something. But you got to get out there.
That's Stephen A., audio courtesy ESPN. Now, I'm a fan of Stephen A., I have to admit, because I like entertaining, and he's entertaining to me.
And I think right now, judging by reaction of our fans, I think a lot of them agree with Stephen A.
Oh, no, that's why I played it, because I think a lot of people are going to disagree with me, and they're going to agree with Stephen A. He went through a full practice the Friday before game one. He was on the treadmill. You told everybody on the air he was on the treadmill before game two, trying to get, like, he's trying to do everything he can to be out there. And if you are Chris and Sharn or John and Mayfield or whatever, guys, you say 216-474-0092. You can say what you want. You can tell me that I'm being too soft on Darius Garland. I mean, as long as we're talking tough with each other here, maybe I'm being too soft on Darius Garland. Because I'm like, man, I don't know Darius Garland. I know you're sitting there. Everybody's showing you on the bench. I know what I said about them assing off on the bench at towards the end of the game Tuesday night, and I stand by that. It's a bad look. It makes your fans upset. It demoralizes your fans when you lose that game because they know what they saw. That I ain't going to defend. But the stuff about him and his foot, he's got to be legitimately injured. Guys, it's the playoffs. You don't play 64 games. You don't win 64 games in the regular season and just say that's fine. That, you want to talk about turning fans off to a team and making it a two-sport or one-sport town? That'll do it. For the time that they're there, that will do it. He's faced so much criticism. He went through last year, which was a abomination of the season, caused by a lot by injuries, yes. And then you get to this level. I simply cannot right now and will not believe that he can go. If he could go, he'd go. He'd go.
Well, I said yesterday that to me it's crazy. Somebody who has done everything he can to change the image, not only of this team, but of who he is. And I think Darius has tried to do that all year. He's tried to, you notice he's got more swagger than ever before. He's got more confidence. He clearly worked on his game to erase the season from hell and everything that was said about him a year ago. Guys like me talking about trading him, trying to conjure up deals with other teams to bring in somebody who's longer, somebody who's taller, somebody who could be more physical. And he has this great all-time bounce back year. And really, even though he struggled shooting the last month and a half, 2 months, he still was doing all the other things. And you can tell right now where they desperately need somebody with his ball handling and somebody who can get the offense in rhythm. With all of that said, I mean, I can't fathom a world in which he would say, you know what, I'll invite all of that. Everything that Stephen A. just said and other national guys are saying, I'll invite that again. I'm just not going to play. Like, that just doesn't seem to be a part of most competitors' DNA. So I don't understand where Stephen A. can get off saying something like that. Like,
well, because
he starts out his whole thing with, well, you know, he's got to be, what do you say, hobbled or crippled?
You got to be damn near crippled.
Well, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's, he's tried to play and it's like, my team would suffer if I was playing.
I mean, give me Termini 01 if you can over there, Meredith. I didn't set Meredith up for it, so I'm gonna play this. Like this, it's, I heard it from Justin yesterday when he's mentioning Kevin McHale, and I'm thinking, you know, he's not above criticism. Darius Garland is. If you want to talk, and that includes trade talk after this year. If this series goes south and they lose this series, and we can talk about, I'll take the gloves off. You want to talk about Darius Garland possibly being traded? If you can swing a trade, fine. Call me up because this is, what, 3 years with this nucleus now? And if you can only get to the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs here, I can't put my head in the sand any longer. Like, you got to go in one direction or another. If you have actual targets that are going to be out there, why roll my eyes at Kevin Durant? Giannis Antetokounmpo, I'll drive to Milwaukee and go get him if you need him. Depending on what the trade package is that can actually help him, I'll do it. You can mention that, Ken, he's so often injured, we have to unload him to help the team. I get that. I just don't think he's less of a professional, less of a man because he's sitting out in the series because I believe he's genuinely hurt. Here's Termini with us yesterday morning.
I won't go full-blown soft on that, but I will say that, you know, Kevin McHale did play an entire postseason with a broken foot when he already had three championships, and Darius Garland's got a sprained toe. Is there a reason he can't throw a uniform on and do something like that? I won't even say he's got to go out there and play 10 minutes, 20 minutes, etc. How about throwing a uniform on and taking a free throw at the end of the game if your team needs you in a spot like that?
To me, the broken foot thing, it just kind of made me laugh because I'm trying to think of somebody in today's NBA playing with a broken foot while they're playing against a team that goes five out. Like, what do you think that would look like? That guy would get benched probably 2 seconds in. But whatever. I get it. We have these great stories of guys cutting out injuries all the time. But we do have to recognize this was somebody who missed the last two games of the year. We didn't think about it at the time because we thought they were just resting guys. But the last two games of the year, he was on the injury report with a toe injury. Well, he played the first two games of the Miami series. Actually played decently, especially that opening game. Shot the ball well. He re-aggravated the injury. So, wouldn't you assume if we're in this for the long haul or whatever? I mean, wouldn't you assume that that's what he doesn't want to do again?
I admire.
He already re-aggravated the injury.
I totally agree with you. And I admire the great stories of the guys who, Ronnie Lott cut the finger off, Jack Youngblood playing with a broken leg in the playoffs, and I think even did in the Pro Bowl, for crying out loud. And the Kevin, those guys, I admire them. I like those stories. Those are great stories. There's guys who can push it away. But the reason we tell those stories is because they're able to do it and other guys aren't. For whatever reason, they got that sixth gear where they can push away pain and still go out and try to perform to some certain level against odds. If he can't go, he can't go. If he can't keep up the pace, he's not going to help us out. 216-474-0092. Are people over the line ripping Darius Garland? Is his injury fair game?
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, we got to run a business and we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because I think most of us, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.